Well, hey there once again, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast. Thanks as always for the pleasure of your time. We're all so busy these days, so I know that you putting aside this time to listen to my thoughts and what I'd love to offer you is a real privilege. And my real desire, my prayer is that as you listen to this material, it'll have some resonance for your life. That on this, you know, how many times have I said in a weekly podcast that you don't need a massive bunch of ideas to change your life, you just need one good idea that you're actually prepared to use. So sometimes you'll just hear one thing and it just resonates, and I just think that's how things work. We just pick up when we're ready, you know, when we're open, we just pick up great input. So I hope in this time together you're going to pick up some really useful stuff. So a little bit of housekeeping. If you haven't heard the recent live seminar I did, I'll put a link underneath. It's a three-part live seminar. It's a live recording. I had about 200 people in the room. I'd love you to listen to that. It's just you can hear, you know, the energy is different in a big live setting, and it steps through the 8 strategies in my book, Bridging the Gap. So make sure you check that out if you haven't yet. I'm a big fan of podcasts, and you know, just when you're traveling to work, when you've got some time, just having good content is just a great way to grow. So I hope you can grab those other ones. I'll put some links under here for social media. If you're not following on Instagram, on Twitter, or on Facebook, I'd love you to come across. Like the pages. I just try and keep putting out really useful little stuff on there, you know, on each of those social channels. So if you're a social media user, just click below here and you'll see the social links there. I'd love you to come across and do that. So let's begin. This week, what I want to talk about is something called hard times. I want to talk about how we deal with life when things are difficult. If you're human, if you're drawing breath when you listen to this, then the good thing about this podcast is it's going to be relevant, because you've already had times in your life that have no doubt been really hard. And right at the moment, life could be awesome for you, or you could be right in the middle of something really difficult at the moment. But I want to put some light on this. I want to put some life into this topic, because I think we're a culture, and I'll talk more about this in a second, that's really avoiding difficulty. We're a therapeutic culture that wants to avoid a lot of what's difficult. And we don't talk much about, well, what do we do when things are really difficult? What do we do when times are really hard? If you're someone who reads a lot around motivation, personal development, business, then I think you can agree with me that this whole area of life, personal development, personal growth, goal setting, is often, you'll see so much stuff that is just mindlessly just positive, you know, just like as if we could just be positive all the time and just think incredibly positive thoughts, and then we wouldn't have any suffering. And it's just not true. You know, some personal development is based on just predicated on the idea of avoiding addressing what's difficult, or even thinking about what's difficult. There's definite, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's like, just don't even think about it. Just be really positive and say affirmations. But you know, I think if we build our lives that way, it's not real. It's not real to, it's totally normal to want to grow and to be positive. And we want to live that way. I want to live that way. But we've also got to be authentic and be real, and we're human. And sometimes things are going to really suck and be terrible and be loss and suffering. And a lot of the personal development space doesn't want to talk about that. So I really want to put some light into this, really open this topic up a little bit. You know, because it's interesting, we can be really positive, but, you know, pessimism and suspicion and being negative actually can be really useful at times. That sounds like an absolute heresy for a motivational podcast. But I remember reading a while ago that, you know, we've actually evolved to be highly suspicious and often negative. Come back to our ancestors in the caves. I mean, every day that you woke up, you kind of expected something bad to happen. You know, whether it was disease, starvation, being eaten by something, or being killed by somebody else. I mean, we spent literally tens of thousands of years as a species just getting through every day expecting the worst to happen. So we've actually evolved in some ways to be, you know, to deal with difficulty and to face times and where it can be negative. And I read a book years ago that had a really sort of interesting comment. It was like, you know, think of you're like a surgeon or a pilot. If you're on a plane, you're a passenger. I mean, do you want your pilot to be like mindlessly positive? like, you know, horrendous weather and massive thunderstorms, and this guy's like really positive, or she's really positive, and they're just like, oh, we'll just fly straight into it, it's going to be awesome, I just believe that we're going to fly straight through. You know, would you rather have somebody that was, you know, pessimistic and really suspicious and sort of negative and saw the worst possible outcome? So, you know, sometimes in life it's okay to be down. Sometimes it's okay to, you know, sometimes even solutions sometimes can come out of times when we're a little subdued and we're more reflective. So I guess all I'm saying in that is you don't have to be, you know, smiling at the worst all the time. We're allowed to just deal with difficult things and to experience difficult things and to be sad. I mean, to be upset, to grieve. I guess the main theme that I want to introduce in this podcast on hard times is just how useful hard times can be. And in fact, what an incredible blessing they can be. Now, nobody wants them. None of us are like, I can't wait for the next really terrible thing to happen. I mean, we don't want these things to happen in our lives. But when they do, it won't be at the time when you're going through something, it's really difficult. But I want to suggest that hard times do several really major things for us. They create resilience, they create capacity, they create wisdom, and they create empathy. Now, that's just four that I thought of quickly, and I'm sure they do much more than that. But hard times create resilience. And when we go through difficulty, we become, over time, resilient. You know, once we've been through a few knocks, especially as we get older, you know, when bad things happen, we don't suddenly see the end of the world. We know we've been through tough stuff before, so we can probably get through it again. So one of the first gifts of hard times is resilience. You know, capacity. You know, if we can cope with more, if we've been through difficulty, we cope with more. Wisdom. You know, knowledge comes from learning, right? You can learn pretty much anything. You know, you can study if you want to, just about anything, and learn it. That's knowledge. But wisdom is different. Wisdom comes through hard experience, you know, through reflection and through going through things in life. That's why, you know, you need to get older sometimes before you get wiser. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, seismic wisdom in 10-year-olds. Now, they might say the odd occasionally insightful thing, but if you're wrestling with great life decisions, you don't go to a 10-year-old. You know, you might go to a 60-year-old or a 50-year-old or a 75-year-old, whatever. But, you know, hard times create that wisdom. And the next one was empathy. You know, if you've never been through difficulty, if everything in life's just been handed to you, sometimes it can be hard to empathize, you know, to feel with another person's pain. And empathy and sympathy are incredible gifts that we bring to other people. So I guess that's one of the first things, is to talk about, you know, how hard times can be a real blessing. So what I want to do now is read a quote from one of my absolute favorite daily blogs. It's just, you know, we're all so busy, I'm very selective about what I read each day, but it's a great blog called Richer By Far, and I'll put a link under it here. It's very short every day. It's just like, takes less than 3 minutes, but it's a great read. And just yesterday, the message was about suffering and, you know, what they call catastrophic loss. And I want to read this to you, and I'll put the quote, I'll try and put the quote here as well so you can see that with the transcript. But just listen to these words. It's talking about the experience of not just hard times or difficulty, but catastrophic loss. So listen to this. It goes like this. If normal, natural, reversible loss is like a broken limb, then catastrophic loss is like an amputation. Catastrophic loss, by definition, precludes recovery. It will transform us or destroy us, but it will never leave us the same. There's no going back to the past, which is gone forever, only going ahead to the future, which has yet to be discovered. Whatever that future is, it will and must include the pain of the past with it. Sorrow never entirely leaves the soul of those who have suffered a severe loss. If anything, it may keep going deeper. But this depth of sorrow is the sign of a healthy soul, not a sick soul. It does not have to be morbid and fatalistic. It's not something to escape, but something to embrace. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Sorrow indicates that people who have suffered loss are living authentically in a world of misery, and it expresses the emotional anguish of people who feel pain for themselves and others. Sorrow is noble and gracious. It enlarges the soul until the soul is capable of mourning and rejoicing simultaneously, just like God, of feeling the world's pain and hoping for the world's healing at the same time, just like God. However painful, sorrow is good for the soul. No matter how deep the pit into which I descend, I keep finding God there. He is not aloof from my suffering, but draws near to me when I suffer. Now that quote comes from Jerry Sitzer and a guy called Pete Scazzaro, and I'll put that link there, both to the blog and to the actual text. But I just found that quite moving, you know, just how deep catastrophic loss can shape us. All right, so let's summarize so far. I want to talk to you about hard times. I want you to get thinking now about the hard times you've faced in life. I want to pitch to you that those hard times, as difficult as they were, even if you could say they were terrible and traumatic and awful stuff happened, I'm going to pitch to you that those hard times have had a big impact on shaping the quality of your character now, who you've become. So the next step in this short podcast is to really highlight for you how much of what I call a distraction or avoidance culture we've become. So we're what I call a therapeutic culture. We really distracting ourselves and constantly avoiding the difficult things in life. So whether it's ice cream, chocolate, food, overeating, crap TV, internet, news addiction, news websites, social media, whatever it is, we are distracting ourselves into absolute mindlessness. And think about our broader media culture. Think about our broader, you know, social media, like Hollywood culture. Like, who do we elevate? We elevate the trivial and the superficial. So the sort of cultural icons we have are people who rarely, there's some exceptions, but most of the time, it's not people who've like overcome great difficulties or have great strengths of character or noble virtues. It's often people that are just frivolous and famous for basically doing nothing of importance except, you know, some either doing their own sex tape or some bizarre thing on a TV screen. So I want to bring to your attention that our entire culture, this sort of Western Greco-Roman culture that we've sort of inherited for most of us, was originally a culture of heroism and virtue. You look at the great writers, you know, the great sort of writers in the Greek and Roman era would write about these. You know, I've just been reading, you know, the Iliad to my kids, you know, the great siege of Troy and these characters, Achilles and Hector and Ajax and all these virtues and all these weaknesses. But, you know, what was being focused on was human character. So what's happening as a culture is we're not focusing on character and how difficulties shape us and how difficulties should be embraced. We're actually focusing on distraction and avoidance. So this is the hard part. I want to challenge you to really start to think about your distraction and avoidance behaviors. I have them. They're getting weaker as I get older. I'm sort of working on them all the time. But what do you do when things are hard? I mean, is it the internet for you? Is it food? Is it, you know, slipping into depression, like into really critical, negative, self-hating kind of thinking? Because where your distraction and avoidance behaviors are, I'm going to suggest, is the point of growth for you. As you begin to stop distracting yourself, then you begin to really grow. Now, when I was doing my second master's, I spent a lot of time looking at Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, you probably know Nietzsche from the quote, "Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger," which I don't agree with. For a start, I mean, it's famous and everybody quotes it, but, you know, sniffing glue doesn't kill you, but it doesn't sure as hell doesn't make you stronger. But Nietzsche's point wasn't quite that literal. What he was saying was that, I mean, his part of his philosophy was that you've got to stop avoiding how difficult life really is. You know, he said that the strong people in life were the ones who would face the universe really robustly on its own terms. So now, a lot of what Nietzsche said was absolutely crazy and it ended up getting millions of people killed indirectly. But his principle about facing up to reality, I sort of like. I get where he's coming from. So where are you avoiding? Where are you sort of going into, you know, sort of therapy for yourself, medicating? I'm not talking about mental health. I'm not saying that. By say medicating, I mean self-medicating with alcohol or food or, you know, something else. So that's for you to think about now. And if you're journaling, and I really want you to think about that. Where are you being distracted? Where are you distracting yourself? Where are you avoiding the fact that things are difficult? So now, as always, let's get practical. What do you actually do? So summary, hard times are a teacher. Hard times form, you know, resilience, capacity, wisdom, empathy. Next part of this podcast means that we're avoiding that. We're therapy, we're distraction, we're avoidance behaviors. So what do you actually do? Now, next time you're going through a hard time, so you're either in one now or next time you go through it, here's what I want you to do. Step one, Change what you can. If you're going through something difficult, well, the first thing you do is you definitely change the parts of it that you can change, especially if it's self-inflicted. So if you go through a hard time because you drink too much alcohol, then, well, the first thing you do is really change that. And it's really hard, but it's possible. And people do it all the time. You know, thousands of people every day quit, whether it's alcohol or something else. But the first thing you do in a hard time is look around you and go, okay, what in this circumstance can you personally change? So you want to know that. Otherwise, you end up in what's called learned helplessness, which is you believe that nothing in the situation can change and your psychology will collapse and you'll just be like, well, it's like lab rats. You know, they did these experiments where, you know, when the rats did certain things, they got shocked. They did other things, they got shocked. And very soon they figured out, I'm going to get shocked for everything, so they do nothing. So, but, you know, basically animals and even humans, we need some sense of what we call agency, which is some sense that we can change things in some small way. So step one, change what you can. I want you to do that. When you're going through that hard time, look around you. What can you change? Number two, get wisdom and input. Okay, what I call wise counsel. If you're going through a really difficult time, you've got to get out of yourself and reach out to good people. You know, ask wiser people for input. Ask them to speak into your circumstance, okay? It's a really crucial principle. I've got a bunch of people that if things get really bad, I've got about five people here and overseas that I can just go to and say and tell them the truth. You know, I'm feeling this, I'm thinking this, this is terrible, I can't cope. Be really honest with them. So step one, change what you can. Step two, in your hard time, get wisdom and input. You're not supposed to do life alone. You're not supposed to go through this difficulty on your own, okay? So get that wise counsel. Step three is acceptance, which is just when you're going through a hard time, eventually, once you've changed what you can, once you've got input, you've done everything you can, acceptance is an incredibly powerful thing, and it's not easy. It's really hard. But to literally trust and accept and just know that somehow this will change and you won't feel it at the time and it's very hard, but acceptance is a very special moment. You know, there was a virtue in the Christian churches throughout much of the Christian church's history called long-suffering. You know, we talk about the virtue of honesty or the virtue of courage. There was a virtue called long-suffering, which was the ability to just endure and accept difficulty over a long period of time. And it's a real forge of character. Again, I'm not being like just crazy here and sadistic. I'm not going, just say, this is great. I'm loving this suffering. Of course you're not. But once you accept it and go, this is the truth, this is the reality, I'm not avoiding it, I'm not distracting myself, I'm facing up to the truth of how hard this is, but I accept that this is what's happening to me. Acceptance is a very powerful thing. Because once you move into acceptance, you can stop blame, you can stop, you know, a lot of other toxic behaviors. Now, the fourth step is around meaning, is around one of the things about hard times is finding meaning in them. Now, this is a bit complex, but sometimes you just can't see the meaning at the time. I want you to hear that again. Sometimes you just cannot see the meaning at the time. Now, the importance of finding meaning in suffering is, you know, the best text on this, the most famous text, which I really encourage you to read. It's an absolute classic of growth and personal development literature, of course, is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. So that's the story of Frankl's experience inside Auschwitz, the Nazi extermination camp, and how he found meaning in the horrific suffering. And, you know, he explains how he did it. And if we figure that if Frankl can find meaning and acceptance and purpose inside that hellhole, then whatever we're going through, we can do something similar. So step one, change what you can. Step two, wisdom and input. Get wise counsel. Step three, acceptance and just looking for the gift of long-suffering and endurance as you go through a hard time. Three, finding meaning. Now, crucially, remember this. You've got to trust that the meaning could come later. Sometimes if terrible things are happening and you're just like, you go, there could be no meaning to this. This is totally random. It could be a month. It could be 15. It could be 50 years later that there will be a sense of meaning and understanding. So just trust that that will be the case because the message of suffering and hard times often comes later. What I want to leave you with here is just a great little story to finish was as you know, I'm an obsessive cyclist, and last night I finished reading a really powerful and beautiful book called Road to Valor. And it's the story. It was given to me by a really good friend. I really appreciate that gift because I finished reading it last night and I was almost in tears at points. It was so moving. It's the story of Gino Bartali. And if you're listening to this and you're Italian, you will know who that is. But anyway, Gino was grew up in incredible poverty in sort of the 1920s in Italy. And he got into cycling and his parents didn't want him to. And he actually won the Tour de France in 1938. It was a big thing, and he was young, and it was like everything was going to be awesome. And, of course, the war breaks out. And then the book goes through all this amazing stuff. Like, he had so much difficulty and suffering, and there were food shortages and starvation. He was forced to fight in the Italian army. And but what he did was really interesting. He was a very close friend of the cardinal, the Catholic cardinal of Milan. And they had this huge network of rescuing and saving Jewish people who the Nazis and the fascists were trying to send to extermination camps. And one of the things they did was they developed these, forged identity papers that allowed many, many, many Jewish people to escape. And what Gino Bartali did was, fold up these secret forged papers and squeeze them into the stem, the seat pole of his bike. And he'd go on these really long training rides. And, he'd deliver these secret papers and he saved literally hundreds, or he contributed to helping save hundreds of Jewish people. And at any moment, he could have been, caught and executed. And so he goes through the war and all this suffering. And there's this poignant moment towards the end of the war where their second child's about to be born and the baby dies tragically during childbirth. And it's just described so movingly. He carries this tiny little coffin out. And his brother died, his beloved brother, incredibly close, his brother died in a cycling accident, hit by a car, and there's all this suffering, and then the war, and then basically he comes back after the war, cycling begins again, but he's got a lot older, like he's basically, and everyone's making fun of him, the papers say he's lost it, and all this stuff happens. And we come to the 1947 Tour de France, and he's just, does terribly. And, all the papers are calling him the old man. And, he's just, his identity and everything, he's been through so much. And then comes to 1948, I want to keep this short, but basically he's like 24 minutes behind the leader. And there are two mountain stages to go. And he was actually friends with the Italian Prime Minister. And literally about a couple of days before this last mountain stage, there was an assassination of the opposition leader, attempted assassination of the opposition leader in Italy. And all these riots broke out, and there was this massive, it looked like a huge civil war was about to break out in Italy. And the Prime Minister rings Gino Bartali because he knew him personally, they were friends, and he basically said, Gino, you have to win. Yes, you have to win this, because we need as a nation, because, Italy was obsessed with cycling, but they'd given up because they thought he was 26 minutes behind and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the next morning, the weather is terrible. They've got three mountain summits, like these crazy mountains, up to 7,000 feet. And basically, long story short, Gino Bartali goes out and destroys everybody. He not only regains his 26 minutes, on the next stage he pumps like another 20 odd minutes and he obliterates everybody. And this stage is in his late 30s, and he wins the 1948 Tour de France, and it's just this beautiful moment. It was so moving, where he sends a telegram that night to his precious little son, and he just said this one line in the telegram. He goes, "Your father is a champion again." And it was so moving. It was just like, why? Here's the pitch. Because when you read the story closely, you see a man who life had been sort of, hard on. He'd had so many hard times, the loss of his brother, the loss of the baby, the loss of his identity through the war and the suffering there, and then all the criticism and the rejection and the abandonment. For him to win, and I guess what I'm saying is that his ability on those two stages, there was a hardness about him. He just could suffer and he could endure. And there was a spark in him, a capacity in him, that I am utterly convinced came from this incredible journey of 15, 20 years of difficulty and pain and fear. So all I can tell you is that these hard times that he faced and the hard times that I face and that you face are not in vain. They're not insignificant. If we can trust them and trust this whole experience of being human and living, and not avoiding and not drugging ourselves and overeating and doing all this dumb avoidance, therapy, distraction behavior, if we face up to life as it really is, then we grow. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to grow. I want you to become, what I often say, become the best version of you that's possible. And a lot of your hardship will make that possible. So that's a long podcast. There's a lot in there, and I'll maybe get a chance to listen to it again. The transcript will be there. You can read through it. But I hope it's useful to you. Do me a favor, as always, share it with people. Just send it to two or three friends. Say, listen to this. Make sure you click on the social media links here. I'd love you to come and join those pages. But send me an email. My new book's going to be out in a few weeks. I'll keep you posted with that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. It's just a great privilege to be in this studio here and to send this material out to you. Post a comment here under the podcast. Let me know what you think. So hang in there. If you're right in the thick of something now, change what you can, get wisdom, pray for acceptance, and know that the meaning will come in time. And for all of us, we're developing resilience, capacity, wisdom, and empathy through those difficult times. God bless you. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Weekly Podcast. I'll speak with you again next week.